Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Sin, sin, sin. A sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. Sin, sin, sin. We are sinners living in a sinful world. Sin, sin, sin. Listen to what King David said about sin after his great sin of adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me, from the great penitential psalm, Psalm 51. Even King David, the only man about whom the scriptures say that he was a man after God's own heart. The scriptures say that about King David. He was a man after God's own heart, yet he was conceived and born in sin. But move over, King David, move over. Step aside, because St. Paul called himself the chief of sinners. 1 Timothy 1:16. His writing from Romans 7 reflects an utter disgust with his sinful condition. Quoting, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Sometimes I would like to say to St. Paul, move over, St. Paul. I am the chief of sinners. Can you relate to King David and to St. Paul and your vacancy pastor? Like St. Paul, do you ever ask, why do I keep doing the things that I do? I don't want to do these sinful things. Why do I keep doing them? On the other hand, I want to do things that I don't do. Why can't I do those things? Like Paul's life, excuse me. Like Paul's life, there is a sinful pattern to our lives. Paul spoke of this sinful pattern in his life like this. Quoting again, so I find it to be a law that when I do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Paul acknowledged that there was a sinful pattern in his life that went all the way to his inner being. The sinful things that I do as a Christian, I hate them. But as a sinner living in the flesh in this sinful world, I love them. But I hate them. No, but I love them. But I hate them. But I love them. That sinful pattern sickened and disgusted Paul. That sinful pattern sickens and disgusts us. That sinful pattern sickens and disgusts you. Listen further to what Paul said about this sinful pattern and its effect on him. Wretched man. Wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Goes all the way to his gut. He's sick of himself, disgusted with himself. He was disgusted because he's a wretched sinner. Even though he was a believer. Simul justitia et peccator. The Latin phrase that we use. At the same time, sinner and saint. Are we somehow better people than Paul? Saint Paul, the man who wrote half or better of the New Testament? No, we are also wretched sinners. Like our brother in the Christian faith, Saint Paul, we are wretched people. We need a Savior. We need a Savior to deliver us from these wretched, sinful bodies of death. And Paul concludes his wailings by saying, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul is thanking God for a deliverer from these bodies that will die. These sinful things that you and I do and don't do, those sinful things have been paid for and taken care of. Jesus Christ paid for your original sin, the sinful state in which you were born. He also paid for your actual sins, the sins that you commit against the Ten Commandments of God. And he paid for your sins of omission, the things you should do and don't do. He paid for all your sins with his innocent suffering and death. He is victorious over sin, death, and the devil. His resurrection proves that victory has been accomplished. His resurrection proves that his payment for sin was acceptable to God. His resurrection proves that his payment for sin was complete and marked paid in full. Paid in full by God. His resurrection is his receipt from his heavenly Father for paying for the sin of the whole world. His resurrection is a sign that death has been defeated. And his resurrection is a sign that the devil has been defeated. His resurrection is the sign that the devil no longer has access to the throne room of God in heaven, as he did at the time of Job, and can no longer accuse you before God in the heavenly places. Had he not been victorious over sin and the devil, Christ would not have been raised from the dead, but he has been raised from the dead and sits at the right hand, the power hand of God, with all power and all authority. Now that Christ is victorious by faith in Christ, you are also victorious over sin, death, and the devil. Like Saint Paul, you are a saint by faith in Christ, though you are still a sinner. By conception and thought and word and deed. Yes, you live as a Christian, as one who is at the same time a sinner and a saint. Thanks be to God that this tension, this war is going on within you between the sinner who can't keep God's commandments and the saint who desires to keep God's commandments. If that tension between the sinner and the saint did not exist, then the man of faith or the woman of faith would have died. That is, he or she would have lost their faith. And only the sinner, the old man or the old woman, would exist. And there would be no struggle. But the tension is proof that the man of faith exists and struggles with sin. That struggle with sin will continue until you die. So when you experience this tension, and you do, you do experience it. And it's bothersome, right? It's bothersome. Give thanks to God for that tension. Give thanks to God for that struggle. For that's evidence that your faith is alive. and you struggle with sin. And it leads you to repentance, to confess your sins, and to believe that you're forgiven in the blood of Christ. Then, all that being said, who will save you from this body of death? Thanks be to God that you have a Savior. One who will save you from this body of death. Thanks be to God that you have a Savior who says to you that He knows your struggles. Thanks be to God that you have a Savior who says to you today in the gospel, come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Are you heavy laden? Have you done things in your life that just cling to you? Jesus has died for all those struggles, those things, those sins. Confess them to God. He's paid for them. You can believe that. And there are some here who are heavy laden. We are sinners. And after all, sin is not pleasant. Sin is ugly. But Christ Jesus has saved you. That is past tense. Before you were ever born, Christ knew you. Christ Jesus is saving you, present tense. He knows you now. He knows your struggles. He comes to you in a personal way, in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. And Christ Jesus will save you, future tense. Christ was resurrected to live forever and will resurrect you to live forever with Him in paradise. Past, present, and future, Christ was, is, and will always be your Savior. Who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Who will save you from your body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Chief of sinners, though I be, Jesus shed His blood for me, died that I might live on high, live that I might never die, as the branch is to the vine. I am His, and He is mine. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.